Well, our sermon this week continues to pick up on the book of James and pays attention to the fact that the lectionary has us in Proverbs, so we're going to talk about more wisdom. Hardly the most inspired sermon title ever, and wasn't intentionally chosen to let me talk about whatever I felt like this week, because, well, wisdom actually does constrain you quite a lot. But when we're looking at, in particular, our James passage, a number of translations have little headings that are not part of the canonical text, but are there just to give you an assistance, give you a bit of assistance when you're trying to figure out what's going on in this section of the Bible. And the New International Version begins this part of James with two kinds of wisdom, is what they call this. And I think that's a good way to look at it, as long as you remember that we have two kinds of wisdom. And one of those kinds of wisdom is very definitely in quotation marks, sometimes called scare quotes, if you will, definitely in quotation marks, because what James is doing is he's drawing a distinction through this passage between what he calls two kinds of wisdom, or what you might think of as two ways of living, which is a good way to think of it. Wisdom is such a... it's a slippery word. It's one of those things that everybody wants, because who among us doesn't want to be more wise than we are? But when you ask, what does that actually look like? It gets a little fuzzier at that point. Some things are very straightforward. If somebody says, "I want to be more rich," well, that's easy. It's easy to measure. It's easy to understand. You want more money than you have now. Okay. Discussion. I want to be more wise. What does that actually mean? Well, when I was in college and we were talking about this, and you can take whole courses on the wisdom literature, which is one of the divisions in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, is drawn into. And what wisdom is about how to live a successful life. How to live a good life is a good way to think of wisdom. If you want to be more wise, it means that you want a life that is better, that is more successful, that is more good, which sort of helps. But what is good? What is successful? What do all these things mean? And James, when he's drawing a distinction between these things, fully understands the difficulty of knowing what is a good life. If wisdom is what allows you to live a good life, what does that look like in the end? And James then goes to a couple of different ways of looking at it. And he begins with the question, who is wise and understanding among you? And so it goes with this whole idea of, well, if we want to know what this is, let's find somebody who is it and see what's there. Well, if you want to be wise and understanding, you show it by your good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. A little circular, but begins to address the problem. And then he says, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom, and the New International Version quite helpfully puts it in quotation marks, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly and spiritual. Well, why would he need to put that out, do you think? Nobody wants to harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition. That's crazy. Except, have you looked around lately at the writings on the internet or in bookstores or wherever you might find them about how to be successful? Success is frequently measured in very objective material terms. And the way you become this is by giving in to your ambition to become wealthier and to become bigger in every possible way. And I've even seen articles go by that will tell you which people you should envy, who you should try to be like, who you should emulate, who you should want to be like and to have their stuff. James says, well, if you harbor this, and he adds the bitter part, But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish and ambition in your hearts, you're in trouble. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Ambition is a perfectly neutral word. There is nothing wrong with being ambitious. It's a word that is frequently misapplied. James is talking about selfish ambition. It's a word that we sometimes struggle with. How could you possibly be ambitious? You should be humble. You should be satisfied with what you have. You should be content, all of which is true, but which is not at odds with ambition any more than we shouldn't be boastful. But I'm spending some time. Well, I've been spending time with Paul for the last several months. And now I'm into 2 Corinthians. And he uses the word boast all over the place. And it's a jolt every time I hear it. I'm going to boast in this. I'm going to boast about that. And I think, no, boasting's always wrong. Wait, can't always be wrong. Paul is doing. What's happening? Well, it's because it pushes us to look at these words in a different way. James is saying there's nothing wrong with ambition. He's saying selfish ambition will drive you into places you don't want to go. Selfish ambition is part of this wisdom in quotation marks. It's earthly wisdom. It's worldly wisdom. It's not really wisdom at all. It looks like it's going to give you what you want at one point, but then it doesn't. Because it says the wisdom that comes from heaven is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace and then raise a harvest of righteousness. Wisdom that comes from heaven is all of these things. And when we put all of these things into our lives, we then have a life that is more successful. That's the strong implication. For those of us who have a relationship with God through Jesus, as we do, we want to live lives that reflect the reality of Jesus within us. Jesus did not have selfish ambition. Philippians talks about how Jesus didn't look at all the things he had as something to be grasped, but he let go of all of those things for our benefit. Jesus had ambition. The ambition was to proclaim the good news that God loves us to everyone he possibly could, and then to equip people who would tell more people than he could get to, who had eventually found what we now call the church, which leads to us. That's pretty ambitious. His ambition was to change the world forever. His ambition was to break down for all time the barriers that were between us and a full, rich, loving relationship with God. That's a much bigger ambition than getting rich or winning a Nobel Prize, even. Ambition's not wrong. Selfish. Ambition is wrong because it's selfish, because selfishness is wrong. James is saying we want to look beyond those sorts of things if we want to be wise. This goes even into our prayer life. I've always enjoyed the part of James where he says, you don't have because you don't ask God. And this has come up often as I preach. It's come up often in my own life. We don't ask, and then we wonder why we don't receive. Most of us who have had something to do with small people, our children or other people's children, have run across this maddening habit they have of expecting us to read their mind and know what they need and just provide it without them asking. It drives me crazy. The morning of school, oh, I need this thing. Well, what thing? Why didn't you ask me for it? No, there's no well involved. It's not that they're asking me, it's not like Neela's asking me if she can drive the car or if she can set fire to the fence. It's something that she needs. It's something that, of course, I'm going to say yes to, and she just doesn't ask, and it just drives me crazy. And very fairly often, the Holy Spirit goes, drives you crazy, does it? Then why do you do it with God? Why don't I ask? Well, I sometimes think that I don't ask because I'm making sure that I avoid the next part where James says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, and I'm worried about the wrong motives, so I don't ask at all, which is, dumb. We don't have because we don't ask. We don't have the things that make us live lives of wisdom that provide what it is that we need because we don't ask. And why don't we ask? Well, I put it to you that we don't ask because our view of God is kind of cramped and small and often wrong. I often don't ask God because I harbor at the back of my mind, even now, even after all these years, this notion that God doesn't really want me to be happy. That God doesn't really want me to have what I want. And when I say it out loud, it's kind of shameful. Like, why would I think that? And I think it's part of the human condition, because why would my kids think that I'm not going to give them something that I've given them in the past, that I've told them they can have whenever they ask for it, and then they don't ask. Well, I didn't know if you'd give it to me this time. It drives me crazy, and it hurts my feelings. And I think, I hurt God's feelings sometimes too. Is that a life of wisdom? Is that a kind of wisdom that I want to have within myself, that I don't trust God will do what God has said he will and what he's done in the past? No. I don't want to be that kind of person. I want to be the kind of person who is peace-loving, considerate, full of mercy, submissive, sowing in peace, raising a harvest of righteousness. I want all of those kinds of things. But it's harder to get them if I don't believe God when he says, I love you. The kind of wisdom we want to avoid is the kind of wisdom that I often just describe as, really, it's human cleverness. Human cleverness is a tremendous thing. We are clever people. We accomplish things that even our parents, let alone our grandparents, would never have imagined. We carry around things in our pockets that not only let us talk to anybody we want to, but will tell us exactly where we are to within 3 or 4 meters on the world. Will give us directions to get anywhere we want. We were just chatting last night with Neela about, we were watching the football game. The only good thing we got out of it, really, was a conversation about how long it would take to get to Ottawa, because a friend of hers, her mother does things, She said, like, how long would it get there? And I said, well, I'm not really sure. So with my phone, in less than a minute, I got driving instructions, including how much time it would take to drive to Ottawa. I picked 24 Sussex. I figured I needed an address to drive from my house to 24 Sussex to look at the Prime Minister's residence. Our grandparents wouldn't even think to have asked for such a thing, let alone imagine that we would have it. Human cleverness is amazing. But it's not wisdom. Human cleverness will provide us the opportunity to make money, but it won't tell us how to spend it well. Human cleverness will allow us to invent things, but it won't keep us from twisting those inventions into tools of destruction. Human cleverness isn't enough. We have to have wisdom on top of it. And wisdom comes from God. That's the only place it comes from. Now, the nice thing is that God is incredibly generous with his wisdom, and he pours it upon people. And so people who don't know God particularly at all still do things that are wise, and we forget that at our peril. We sometimes get this idea that if you don't have an explicit relationship with God, everything you do is fundamentally bad, which is just silly. God's goodness and God's Holy Spirit goes all around the world affecting people for good, whether they know him or not. But we do know him. And we do know that we can become more wise rather than less wise, that we can turn our backs on that kind of wisdom that turns into selfish ambition, that goes from an authentic desire to be more like someone to become bitterly envious of what they have. I think James does almost a disservice calling out wisdom, because it's not wisdom at all. It's just the bend of our human nature, trying to have more than we have just because we want it. But when we ask for wisdom, because I think that's the thrust of what James is talking about. He says, you want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet because you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. But the problem is that you do not have because you do not ask God. Wisdom is knowing, among many other things, what you don't have, and then knowing where to go to get it. By nature, I'm not a particularly peaceful person. By nature, I'm one of those people who just thinks that everyone is out to get me. And if I don't fight hard and fend people off, I won't have what I need, let alone what I want. To fight against that, I don't need to become more grasping. I don't need to become a better fighter to take what I want and protect what I have. I need to ask God for the wisdom to let go of the things of life, knowing that He loves me enough to take care of me. And that the things that I need will be there when I need them. Sometimes it's hard for me to ask for those things. Sometimes I find myself asking for stuff. There's nothing wrong with stuff. God has given us this wonderful world to enjoy. There's nothing wrong with having a car you like. There's nothing wrong with having a house that's comfortable. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. But when we get caught up in those things at the expense of what it is we actually need, that's where the problems come in. I work hard on trying to remind myself of everything that God has provided for me already. And I've tried to reshape my prayer life into saying, you know, that as you have provided these things for me, I would ask that you provide this other thing. It changes how I think about stuff. When someone provides something for you, it reminds you that it's a gift, that it's been given to you. It's not something that you earned or made yourself. That's a kind of wisdom. That's a kind of submissiveness that James says is a good thing. I'm not a very submissive person either in my regular human self. I want to be more like that. I think we all want to be more like the person that James talks about here as the successful person. We want more of that kind of wisdom. Most of us, by this stage of life, have tried the other. It doesn't really work. And when it appears to work, it's not very satisfying at the end. If there are two kinds of wisdom, I know which one I want more of. It's the one that will turn me more into the kind of person I was created to be. I want to have that kind of wisdom that allows me to make those kinds of decisions that bring out the best in the people around me. My family, my coworkers, people I just rub shoulders with for a moment. I want more of that kind of wisdom that makes me more and more like Jesus. I think we all do. And that's the kind of thing that we can always ask for. That's the kind of thing that perhaps we haven't asked for enough. And that's the kind of prayer that God is really interested in answering.